Welcome to Love, Honor, and Asperger's, a podcast for partners in autistic or narcissistic relationships. Join author April Anderson and her guests as they delve into their personal experiences and offer their insight. With wisdom and wit, this podcast will provide listeners with invaluable guidance, unwavering support, and compelling real-life stories. Ready? Let's dive in.
Hello, my Cassandra brothers and sisters. Welcome to this week's episode of Love, Honor, and Asperger podcast. Today, my guest is Victoria Apperson, who is an integrative functional wellness practitioner. And she's here to help us understand how we can heal ourselves. And as we all know, Cassandras need a lot of help in this area. So welcome to the show, Victoria. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to share what I've learned in the time I've been dealing with all of this personally and then exploring it professionally and serving my clients.
Well, you want to start by saying how you got interested in this field, which I understand it's quite a long process here.
Yes. Honestly, from the time I was a small child, I was very interested in psychology and healing. I was very hands-on. My first modality that I learned at 18 in 1995 was at the Institute. I studied massage therapy. And from there, I just kept learning new modalities and exploring them and came under various mentors and just continue to learn more. I'm always learning, always exploring. And this is a topic that came to me, probably 10 years ago. I became familiar with Cassandra syndrome and learned about the impact in particular on our health.
That's for sure. I can tell you that. So now how do you work your practice?
What I do with folks is it's very strengths-based healing, and we go through four steps. We do exploration, we identify, then we develop the inner talents to support their lifelong well-being, and then we implement. And I like to go through those steps rather quickly. Mm-hmm. The model of coming to therapy for an infinite number of sessions and year after year does not appeal to me and never did. I want to be able to help as many people as I possibly can. And so I wanted to develop a system of being able to do that quickly and easily, utilizing neuroplasticity, because our brains can change in an instant.
Yeah, right. That's an interesting thing. That's an interesting concept. I just recently learned about that, really. It's a good thing we have it, right? Then we can get better.
Yes, absolutely.
So you didn't want to be regulated by any kind of psychologist board. You want to do your own thing. And I didn't get anywhere with a regular. Well, I shouldn't say that. They help a little bit, I guess. But, you need some more tools. The tools you were talking about, I think, to heal.
Yes. And, I was a young person. I came from a very impoverished, traumatic childhood. And I think when I was in my late teens and early 20s, I was really seeking out healing for myself. And that's what catapulted me into wanting to become a healer, because the traditional models just didn't work for me. But once I found that there were alternatives, it was very life-changing, very powerful. And the more I learned about what can be done and what is possible, the more I'm kind of an adventurer and I just wanted to see what could be done.
That's great, because I can tell you with that, it didn't help me a whole lot. In fact, I remember when I didn't know my husband was on the spectrum, and not to mention narcissism, for 38 years. The Cassandras now aren't the happiest bunch, but at least we're all on track trying to, either dissolve a relationship, get through one, recover from one.
Yes.
Not even know what it is. It's just terrible. And I went to some fella, well, he was just my PCP doctor, but he said, and I was so out of it, I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on. I had no one to help me and no one like you to help me, which have been so wonderful. And he said to me once, he leaned back in his chair, I always remember this, and shut his laptop. So he must have been sort of in the modern day and age. And he said, "Have you ever thought of going to a brain doctor?" And I looked at him and I didn't know what he meant. And he said, "A psychiatrist." And I'm like, oh my gosh, you want to talk about just feeling so alone and frightened and misunderstood. It's awful, just awful, honestly, with that kind of thing back there. So it would have been great to have known somebody like you back then. I mean it.
Yes. I love what I do. It's an honor.
Do you want to give some examples of who you help or how you've done things?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this since 1995, and the focus on Cassandra is, you know, recent in the last probably 10 years. I work with various modalities and I put together a plan. And my goal when I'm working with anyone, no matter what their ailment is or whatever they're wanting to do change work with, my goal is to empower them to continue on and to be able to experience lifelong wellness. I want them to understand how their own mind works and how much power we really do have in our own hands. Once we understand how the brain works and how quickly the brain can make changes, and knowing 95% of our genetics are activated, turned on or off by our environment. And
wow,
the most powerful environment that we have is inside our own mind.
Wow.
You know, that's right there. That's the internal, you know, system. And so everything else around us, if we can control our own mind, our thoughts, our emotions, that's where the power lies within the healing of the body. So that's where I like to start.
That's a hard part, don't you think? Getting your mind away from your heart and emotions and all that.
It isn't once you understand how to do it. It's very practical. I think like the traditional model of psychology, they like to ask the question, why? Mm-hmm. And all why does is reinforce. So I like to ask how, you know, how do we manifest depression? If we can figure out how we're doing that, we can also figure out how do we manifest happiness, whatever it might be.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So now you talked a little bit, I have a little note here. Did you go to Mexico?
I did.
What did you do in Mexico?
I had suffered an injury. You know, for me, the stress of not knowing the neurodivergence that I was dealing with and not really understanding it. I had a lot of stress going on and I was diagnosed with MS back in my early 20s. And I was in a really stressful time, you know, building a house and all this stuff. So I ended up getting injured by a medical doctor.
Oh my goodness, really?
In 2016. Mm. And it took me a really long time to recover fully from that. I lost a lot of mobility, a lot of flexibility. I was bedbound for 80 days. I was housebound for 2 years. I couldn't drive a car for two years.
Oh my gosh, Victoria, that's terrible.
And the blessing that came out of it was a very powerful blessing because I had to really deep dive into how do I heal my own brain? How do I heal my own body? And I learned so much during that experience. That experience was invaluable. I mean, the depth of knowledge out of that, I would do it again. And I know that sounds bizarre, but I honestly would do it again, knowing the gift that awaited me at the end. And so part of that gift was after many years of physical therapy and restoring my body to be able to get down to the ground and stand back up again by myself. I planned a month-long trip to Isla Mujeres, Mexico, and I went down there. And when I arrived, I knew my intention. I'm interested. I might start doing retreats, and we've kind of had conversations about that with Cassandra, doing retreats, because it was such an intensely powerful experience for me. I was journaling a lot. I was meditating. I was praying. I was walking, hiking all over the beach and the terrain. And my tour guide, who was just a happy accident, just a sweet sweetheart that I met in a Facebook group for Isla Mujeres, she toured me around that island. She's 30 years old, super fit. And I was walking behind her. And the beauties of our brains is that we have this thing called mirror neurons. And so whatever you set in front of your eyes, your body will emulate, you know, your mind will emulate that. And so I was following around this 30-year-old gal and did that for a month. And my just told my body how to be. And I came back from that trip and my body was completely restored. And it's just been, was doing Pilates and somatic movement with some practitioners there as well. And just eating really good food and just being happy and just having peace and quiet. It was really tremendously healing and learned so much. And I'm going back because my tour guide is getting married on September 1st. And she's invited.
How fun is that? Gee, I was thinking about how a lot of us, the poor Cassandras, don't have the ability to go on these retreats and doing the healing that way, you know, and that's an issue. And even to be in private sometimes on maybe a Zoom, you do your stuff by Zoom, I guess, a lot.
Yeah, when I'm working with people, I can do Zoom, you know, I can do video calls or just a regular phone call. I can, mm-hmm. I do for people that are local to Missouri and Minnesota, I also do in-person sessions where I'm able to work with some other modalities that I can't do virtually.
Oh, right. Yeah, so I know you talked about chakras. A long time ago when I was just getting into trying to figure out how to make myself not be so sick with this person I was with, mm-hmm. I had a life coach, which life coaches, you wouldn't think of so much as having you learn chakra, you know? Mm-hmm. But I did that all the time. And that was my first introduction to some of the spiritual meditation type of thing. And And so do you do that? I mean, with your people?
Oh, yeah. So when I'm working with people, you know, I look at, there's several different areas that we look at, but definitely frequency, the energetic body, meridians, you know, depending on what is afflicting them, you know, it could be acupressure points, it could be aromatherapy, it could be, you know, tapping, EFT. I work a lot with bioresonance, which is an amazing new tool. I liken it to in the old days when we had the telephones that had to have the cord stuck in the wall and you're tethered to it.
Yeah.
And then now we have phones and we can transmit these signals all across the world. And in the old days of bioresonance, they were stuck with cords and they have tools like EKG and EEG. And now the technology is such that I can do biofeedback and bioresonance with someone remotely across the planet. And that's kind of a new tool that I've been working with since the fall.
I tried neurofeedback. I have a machine. I don't even really do it. You know, with a neurofeedback, the bio, you can do, mm-hmm. you actually went to see somebody when I don't know. I think it helped my ex a little bit to calm mm-hmm. him once in a while or something. She worked with little kids that had ADD or ADHD, and one little kid had to go in every other day just to calm him. But that was that neural feedback. You put the things on your head, and I should probably do that once in a while. And you can do it audio or visual, right? You're making you watch something. And it feeds back in your brain when you're not being calm, really, I guess. Yeah. It's the whole principle, right?
And that reminds me of EMDR, which is another modality that I enjoy working with. What I like to do is, and where I feel like my gifting lies is I'm very naturally intuitive. And so when a client comes to me, the first thing I do is I listen. I listen very intensely. My first session is usually an hour and a half to 2 hours. And that is me listening. Once I've listened and sought the information, the exploration that I need to have to create a plan, and the plan is just very individualized. It's very customized. It's never the same thing twice for anybody. Wow. And I feel like you can't really replicate that. You know, you can't get that out of, you know, a machine, and you're definitely not going to get that with your doctor.
Well, so, I think that's amazing, Victoria, that you've done all this. Now, I remember I started my daughter, bless her heart, she was having all kinds of problems with her little kids. She has a big job. And she got into the tapping. Now, you want to explain the tapping? I mean, and it would be funny because she'd be walking down the street tapping because of things going wrong with her little child. And I did that for a long time. I think that's something I should do a lot, like a couple times. It's one of these things. It's like, you know, grease your elbows or something.
Yes.
Or make sure you walk 10,000 steps. It's how do you, you know, to fit it all in? But so have you had good success with that? Anyone explain what tapping is? Because I don't think.
Yeah. So tapping is really interesting to me. Just because of it, I think that there are so many modalities available to us. And so it's really a matter of, you know, kind of what appeals to different people or what might work. But tapping is working with the piezoelectrical system of the body, which is also the same system that we work with acupuncture and acupressure. And I don't do acupuncture. I'm not an acupuncturist, but I have had lots of acupuncture in my lifetime. But it's just working with those meridians. And when we're doing that very intentionally, we're incorporating the unconscious mind into the tapping. And so it's really, it's like a quick little hack to rewire your brain. Mm-hmm. And it encompasses, you know, the kinesthetic, but when you're doing tapping those meridians, and those meridians are, you know, all over your body. And the meridians are beautiful because they're also connected to this energetic body that extends up to 10 feet outside of our physical body.
No kidding.
No kidding. Yeah.
Now, I'm in a meditation group that has this higher vibration and our auras and all that, you know. And yeah, we're not quite as deep as you, but it's really interesting. It really is. Yeah. So the tapping, but not only do you tap your meridians, you know, with your fingers is what it is. Yeah. Somebody can look it up on YouTube or something or call you. But the other thing is the dialogue that you say to yourself.
Yes.
Now that is kind of, sometimes I would get mixed up what I was supposed to say.
Yeah. And that ties into the neurolinguistics. And that was one of my first loves as well. Massage therapy. I went to school at a place called the Meta Institute in Minneapolis. Sadly, it's no longer there, but I still communicate with the founders of that school. And so with neurolinguistic programming, when neurolinguistic programming was developed, it was theoretical. You know, they clinically could see that it worked. They could see that if we do this and that with linguistics, we will see changed behavior, changed emotional states, changed condition to such a degree. You know, I've witnessed with my own eyes while being hypnotized into anesthesia. So it's very physically valid. But what's exciting, what I'm so excited about in the last, you know, 10, 15 years is that what was theorized and what was clinically practiced can now be seen on SPECT scan. We can watch the brain real time make change. And so it's a lot of these healing modalities. When I started out in 1995, a lot of these things, I had to go into like little hole in the wall bookshops and everything was
mystical
and esoteric. And there was incense burning and everyone was like hippie and it was like super woo woo. And in the course of my career, it's all being validated by science. Recently, when I was in Mexico, biologists were able to quantify this thing that we do with our hands. And it's hard to describe since we're not on video and this is going to be heard and seen. But if you cup your hand in a certain way and you hold it against the body or against someone else's body, science has proven now that this creates an electromagnetic field. And that electromagnetic field stimulates stem cell production.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. And you think about ancient people groups, you know, Ayurveda in Eastern India, and you think about traditional Chinese medicine and even the scriptures that talk about the laying on of hands, you know, and these things were written thousands of years ago. And now finally we can understand why this works and everyone has their own hands.
Wow, that's really me. I'll tell you one thing, Victoria. I don't see a thing you've missed here. I mean, I happened to get into a lot of this just because of, you know, my marriage and, you know, we're always trying to figure out how to be calm and how to change and what didn't work. You can't change them. So the other thing, so we did meet with a life coach that did the neurolinguistic, you know, which you want to explain that to people just a hair? I mean, if you don't mind, explain something to
them. Yeah. Neurolinguistic programming is simply using language, learning how language affects our brain. Mm-hmm. And it's coming to an understanding of how our language has shaped our brain through our whole lives. And those things were imprinted on us as children. So we have this conscious dialogue. We have this unconscious programming that's running from the first 7 years of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so it's coming into an awareness of how do we do that with our language? How do we create the brain that we have? And some people love the brain that they have and they would never want to change it. And some people are suffering and they're not getting the life that they want. They're not manifesting, you know, it might be illness that they're experiencing or just relationship stuff or whatever it is, or maybe they don't have the job they want. It all can be changed with neurolinguistics, with being intentional about how our language can shape the brain that we want to have.
I don't think there's very many people that don't want to change something. I mean, you could go down the street or go to the mall and say, all right, everybody step over here that is perfectly happy with every single part of, you know, your life. And I think there's just a lot of need for this. I've always thought therapy was for like really crazy people or something.
Yeah.
And then I get into it, you know, everybody should have some type of, you know, therapy or what. Now, another thing I think is really interesting too is the EMDR. Eye movement desensitization. What's the R stand for?
Yes, it is eye movement desensitization. Is it reprogramming? I think it is reprogramming.
I read the book, The Woman That Discovered That. I can't think of her name either. I actually have the book in there. It was the woman that started it. I didn't know we'd be talking about this. I could have researched it, but it's EMDR. You can actually, I'll tell you what, I just did it the other day. You can actually go on YouTube and they have sort of a mini type of EMDR. It's your eye movement you know, back and forth. And my, mm-hmm. my husband did it. Now, they didn't talk about it too much, but he went to a gal from who was from South Africa, lives near here, was a teacher of this EMDR. Mm-hmm. And I tried to find somebody here and they just, they weren't available for adults or anything. But mm-hmm. but when I am in a sort of a stressed out state once in a while, you can actually go on, you can go on YouTube and research it for one thing. It's yeah. really good for traumas. Yeah, for somebody that's had a trauma and it just can, you know, delete that from their... I think it's harder when you have had an ongoing stress forever. I don't know about the EMDR as much, but I know my husband, I think they, instead of doing, you know, they move the finger, your eyes go back and forth. I think he tapped from one hip to the other hip. Mm-hmm. Or maybe rang a bell, you know, click a bell in one hand and the other. He really, you know, it was his private business and he didn't tell me something. He did. He was better for a while, but, you know, he fell back into the narcissist. I mean, you can't cure a narcissist. They were too injured, so injured. We can help them a little bit. But that, I thought that was fascinating. So on the YouTube, there's a fellow, I can't think of his name, but he has these beautiful videos of like a stream, a river, ocean or what, and little blinking light, but little circles.
Yep.
And you just kind of watch the circle back and forth and then he'll go, you're at peace, you're not angry. And it's good just for meditation. And you know, I wouldn't say it's real deep to help somebody with a problem, but it's nice to, when you have, if you have a stressful day or that kind of thing. Now, I want to ask you, have you ever, what do you think, have you been familiar at all with muscle testing?
Yes, there's a wonderful book and I don't remember the name of the author, but the book is called The Body Doesn't Lie. Okay. And it's a wonderful skill. And in fact, this is something I teach to everyone I work with. I mm-hmm. teach muscle tests. I also teach them how to make sure that their polarity is right. You know, they're electromagnetic. Sometimes people can experience certain symptoms and even interfere with electronics if their mm-hmm. polarity isn't correct. Muscle testing is beautiful because your body won't lie. And I had a client had this 10-year-old boy and mm-hmm. we taught him how to muscle test and he was neurodivergent and had a number of food allergies and was very addicted to junk food. And we taught him how to muscle test and he would walk into the grocery store and pick something up off the shelf and muscle test to see if that was something his body wanted or needed.
Wow.
If his body told him no, he would put it back on the shelf. No questions asked. His mother was amazed by the change in that because it was something that they had struggled with for a very long time.
Well, that is amazing. And then another thing, I'll tell you, I didn't realize how much of this stuff I've been through until we're speaking here today. But yeah. I also saw somebody, she's far away, kind of far of a drive, but very interesting person. And she did a NAET or something, N-A-E-T, do you know what that is? Nambutaprod. Somebody named Nambutaprod invented that. And it's for allergies, really. It's for allergies.
Oh, interesting. No, that it's vaguely sounds familiar, but yeah, I'm not.
I couldn't think what it all stands for. N-A-E-T. And she would have you lay on a magnetic bed or rub your back and try to get your field all going. I mean, you know what? It would be wonderful, honestly, if more of this was incorporated into our allopathic yes. doctors. I mean, I've been to integrative doctors. You know, but they're not, it's not the norm. I mean, it's just, you know, it just beside, you know, don't go in, just here's a pill, goodbye or something. You know, it's a shame we don't have more of, you know, I think back in the old days, they had this, you know, like you're saying.
I think we are coming full circle. I think these are things that were ancient wisdom and they were lost to some degree. And I think we are trending in the right direction. I think that as time goes by, what I'm seeing, like I said, in the beginning of my career, this was hippie, granola, incense, weirdos. I mean, it was the whole natural healing atmosphere at the time really was not considered legitimate. I mean, it was very scrutinized. And now in the time since then, I'm seeing so much of it be validated, legitimized. I myself had a surgery back in, 2006. I'd had my gallbladder removed. That was a genetic thing. My mom had hers out. My grandma had to have hers out. My great grandma died at 28 years old from her gallbladder rupturing. So this was.
Wow. Poor soul. Genetic.
But I went in to have my gallbladder out. I went to Woodwinds Hospital in Minnesota mm-hmm. and they put lavender oil on my hospital gown before surgery to prevent post-surgical nausea. And then they also put C-bands on my wrists, which are stimulating acupuncture points to prevent nausea. So that, you know, I have hope. I have great hope that as private investors put money mm-hmm. into clinical research and mm-hmm. university studies, we will see more and more of this emerging and integrating into the allopathic system.
I read that there were a lot of medical students that studied naturopath, that type of thing. And mm-hmm. I think it was Rockefeller, I'm not sure, that discovered that drugs can be made from oil, really from oil, mm-hmm. petroleum. And so where are you going to get, how much money are they going to make out of, you know, herbs and all these right. modalities? No, they're not going to get rich on that, but they're going to get rich on, and so they switched the medical schools for people to just, you know, to learn here, you got a headache, take this or do this with it, you know, take this pill, which really had all the side effects and didn't cure people. I mean, there might be a time, you know, there's an acute problem. So somewhere, I think it was like maybe the 1920s, whenever the oil started coming into being, everything changed to this way that it didn't work. I go to this really cool kind of hippie natural food store. If you ever want to, you know, just yeah. not go to some normal grocery store and go into there. And the people in there, you could walk right up to them and say, you know, have you heard of EMDR or do you know this yeah. for that? Or do you? And they would go, oh yeah, you know. You walk to somebody up in another grocery store, they'd say, boy, I don't know what you're talking about, you know?
But, get out of the way. Give me my Cheetos.
Yeah. Yeah, to keep right. Okay. So, all right. Now, do you have anything you want to tell everybody more that you're doing?
Well, you know, I have a new website up. It's lovelifewellmn.com. And it's not complete at this point. I do need to get on the ball and plug in a bunch of content. But if anyone wants to find me there, they can. And I'm also on Facebook, Victoria Apperson. I should come right up in a search on that. And yeah, so if anyone is listening, I'm happy to help. You know, I'm a fellow Cassandra myself, and I understand, and I have comprehensive tools, and I'd love to see all of us healed.
I think you can do it if anybody can, I'm telling you. Can you repeat your website?
It's lovelifewellmn.com.
Okay, that's a nice website. That really is. So anything else you would like to say before we end this discussion, Victoria?
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed our conversation. Thank you for
helping all of us Cassandras with this podcast. And I hope people reach out to you. I'm telling you, there's so much healing that all of us need to do. It's just, it took me so much healing. After you've been married 50 years, boy, I'm telling you. And so I did get into a lot of this stuff. And you can feel, you know, I had fibromyalgia. How about the illness we mm-hmm. all get? People get sick. I mean, they get physically sick from this, not only emotionally and everything else, but we actually get physically sick.
One more thing I would like to say before we leave is mm-hmm. for anyone hearing this, if there's one thing I can give you from this conversation mm-hmm. to take with you, it is when you are attached to or over a relationship with someone who's neurodivergent, take care of yourself. Focus on yourself. That's where you start. You start by looking in the mirror, say, I am enough, and focus on you and ask yourself, what do I need to feel good, to feel supported, and give that to yourself.
Wonderfully said. It's the truth. We already did too much for other people, right?
Yes.
Thank absolutely. You, Victoria. Thank you. Thank I hope you hear April. From people. And I know you're just helping people. I maybe even get in touch with it myself.
Thank you, dear.
All righty.
All right.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Please review, subscribe, and tell a friend. My website is www.aprilanderson.net. And remember to trust yourself, be strong, and don't let them get you.